Today on the Parker J. Cole Show, it's our prayer broadcast. And like I told you this past week, so many of us are looking and needing prayer. And so we are going to be praying for you. So if you want to be prayed for, make sure you call in 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air to have your prayer request known. If you want to hit me on Facebook, you can get me on Facebook. If you want to Twitter me, you can Twitter me. Tweet me at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show Prayer Request. We just want you to know that we are here and we are definitely praying for you. We're going to be praying for you today, coming up next on the Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to the prayer broadcast on the Parker J. Cole Show. Let me tell you, I am so glad to be doing this prayer broadcast with you. It's something I've been thinking about for quite a while as we all watch this summer turn into a summer of turmoil for so many of us, especially when so many of us have been impacted by circumstances that are out of our control. And namely, we're thinking about those of you in the U.S. and in other parts of the world that have been affected by natural disasters. You've been affected by the various hurricanes, by earthquakes. You've been affected by tsunamis and floods and heavy rains. You've been affected by fires and earthquakes and so many natural disasters that have been happening. And I wanted to let you know that we here at PJC Media, and just as a child of Christ, we are praying for you. We are thinking about you, and we want to continue to pray for you. Prayer is indeed the order of the day. So many of us use prayer as a last line of defense, as if everything we try would work before we pray. And I've been guilty of that myself, so I'm being very honest when I understand where we think, is there something I can do to make the situation better? But sometimes, like with natural disasters, like with anything else, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do any better than what God can do. And so we want to definitely have this prayer broadcast for you. And let you know that, hey, if you need us to pray over you in some way, let us know. We're going to do that on the show. And if you want to call in, make sure you call in again at 646-668-8485. Then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, and put in prayer so I can get your prayer request. We're going to take a quick short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about prayer and prayer broadcast. Stay tuned.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at joryimicah.com for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, answer the call to ministry.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show, this special edition, which is our podcast. Like I said before the break, we want to pray for you. And part of praying is being open and transparent. So there are going to be some things I'm actually going to mention on the show that I consider very personal to not share with people, but I'm going to be open to being prayed for, because we need to be transparent with the Lord. We need to be transparent with each other, and we need to be transparent even with ourselves. Sometimes we're very good at lying to ourselves, and we need to be transparent. So I'll be opening up as well. And with me to pray for us is our pastor, Pastor George McVeigh. He's been on the show numerous times, a huge supporter of the show. And it's quite interesting, George, as we get ready to talk about prayer, is how, you know, you became unofficially the pastor of the show. It just kind of just happened without any help from either of us. It just kind of at least fell into the role. And then I've come to rely on your wisdom so much over the years. And so I want to thank you for being with us one more time as we talk about prayer. So go ahead and just say hello to our listeners today.
Well, I am always glad to be here, Parker. And, you know, I don't believe in happenstance or coincidence. So I think, you know, our connection was definitely one of those God moments. And, you know, and mainly because of the fact that we can come to each other and say, hey, I need prayer. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's more than just, you know, we may have met because of our writing, but it's more than that. So,
Amen.
And I think that's the important thing for us to talk about as we start talking about prayer and praying for people, is that, you know, sometimes God puts those people in your lives not just to be your friend, not just to share your burden, but to lift your burdens to heaven.
I like that you said that, Pastor George, because it isn't a coincidence. I always laugh because we always say, oh, it's coincidental. No, it's not. Everything is always moved and geared toward God. And that kind of brings us to our topic about prayer. I remember one time I was in a Bible class one day, and I said, and I guess I knew the answer, but you know how you need to be affirmed of some answers. Maybe you need to hear it again sometimes. But I asked the Bible teacher there, I said, then if God knows everything, why should we pray to him? If he knows everything, he knows everything, why should we pray? I mean, it's kind of like, well, God, you know, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm asking for this. Why pray to you? And, you know, his response was, so we can bow to his will. That was his response, more or less, is, you know, more or less we can bow to his will and make our relationship with Christ even more, with the Lord, even more intimate. And so I want to start off our topic with the fact of, with that question, you know, Pastor George, why should we pray?
Well, you know, you kind of touched on it, or at least my answer to that question, which is you're completely right. God already knows what you're going through. He knew about it before you ever started to go through it. He knows when your loved one's sick. He knows when you're without a job. He knows all this stuff. So our praying to him is not to make him aware. But it's just like, you know, as a parent, there were times my children would do something and I would know what they were doing. I would know they had a new boyfriend or girlfriend. I would know, but they hadn't told me about it.
Right.
But it helped our
right.
relationship when they could come to me and say to me, hey, this is my boyfriend or girlfriend, or hey, I'm going through this, or hey, I want to do that, even though I already knew it. So it wasn't to make me aware. It was to make our relationship closer, stronger. And I think that's just the whole reason why God wants us to pray.
Amen. I like how you say that too, Pastor, because when you talk to people, they may even know what you're going to say, but it's just building an intimacy with them, and why prayer is just so important too, and why it is the order of the day, why prayer is so important. It builds intimacy with God. And like I was saying earlier, I'm going to be a little transparent for myself when we talk about this. So I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. And most of us know this prayer. We all know it. Most of us who are, I should say, in the Christian world know this prayer. But I'm going to read it anyway as if we're the first time hearing it. And then I want you to kind of expand on why this is, quote unquote, our model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that is the prayer that Jesus led his disciples in. Why is this a model prayer, Pastor?
Well, because it covers everything that prayer should cover. I mean, let's think about it. It tells God that we recognize who he is, our Father. We recognize what he is, that he's holy, that he's above us, that he's hallowed. It tells of our desire to get to know him better. It tells of our need to be in correct standing with him. Your will be done in earth, just like it is in heaven. You know, it tells of our needs to be met that we may need to ask him about, give us our daily bread. It tells of our need, and this is the hard one for most Christians to grasp, our need to forgive others just like he forgave us. And, you know, because we don't want to do that. Let's be real honest. When somebody hurts us, we don't want to forgive them. We don't want to be, I mean, we don't want to be like God. We want to be forgiven, but we want to make them pay.
And I've been there many times.
Haven't we all? You know. And, but the truth of the matter is, it lines us back up in every single area of our life with God's desire for us to live in relationship with him, to live in relationship with each other, to rely on him. And that's why it's the perfect prayer.
Yeah, I think when you say that, you know, when you read these, I know pastors have gone several weeks just teaching on the Lord's Prayer. They've gone several weeks just doing that because the Lord's Prayer is so powerful because it does cover everything. You know, first it covers our relationship with the Lord, our relationship to each other, our relationship to the provisions that we need, and then how we react to each other. I think I did it in the wrong order, but it does relate to everything. But that's what the prayer covers, you know. And so that's why when people don't pray, we're not recognizing that God can handle every part of our life. He handles everything. And that's what this show is about, to our prayer. You know, one thing when I was getting ready for the show this morning, I was thinking about what's a good way to start off the prayer. And so I went to Nehemiah, and I put this in the show description. I said, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And I kind of stopped right there because it really struck me as interesting. As he says, be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and who desire to fear thy name. So there has to be a heart condition in conjunction with this prayer thing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And I think we, as humans, we know exactly where Nehemiah is coming from here. It is so easy to just hit God up like a vending machine. I need, you know, I'm putting in my prayer, I should get my answer. And so how does Nehemiah start this prayer? Yep, I'm coming to you again, Lord, with requests. But the biggest one is, let me seek you with my heart. Let me be in that relationship with you. Let that be important to me beyond these physical requests that I'm about to ask you for. So I think it's a perfect verse for us to pick because, let's be honest, relationship with God is the most amazing thing that we can have. And yet once we have it, it is the most neglected thing that we do have for most Christians.
Yeah.
You know, we.
Yeah,
we
I hear you.
And of course, it's because it's kind of like, you know, a long-distance relationship. I mean, it kind of is. We don't personally, physically see the object of our relationship. We don't see God with our physical eyes. And for some people, that's hard to keep his that relationship with him at our forefront. So, you know, I think that's another important thing for us to do in prayer, is that we have to realize it's just us connecting our heart to the heart of God.
I think you're hitting it on the nail, Pastor George. For those of you listening in, make sure you can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. If you have your prayer requests heard, or if you want us to pray for us or talk to you about it, I'd be more than happy to. I know for myself that prayer can be sometimes difficult for people because, like you said, you know, we can't see the Lord, and we believe that he's there, that he's listening to us, and we believe it, but we can't see it. And so some people may have a problem with that. But there's another problem with prayer. Is prayer is submission to God's will. And I think, this is my opinion, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor George, I think sometimes with prayer, we have a connotation that prayer is simply making our requests known with the expectation of getting a yes to our request. And I was always told that sometimes the Lord doesn't always answer our requests with yes. Sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait, sometimes it's trust me, you know what I mean? But if I am wrong, please correct me. So what do you think the church has gotten wrong when it comes to prayer?
Well, I think, you know, you're exactly right. What we've gotten,
there's
two things that the church, especially the American church, has gotten extremely wrong when it comes to prayer. The first is that, yeah, you know, I put in my request, I should get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet if we look back at that model prayer, one of the first things it says is give us our daily bread, give us our needs, and then it says, but let everything else be done on earth just like it is in heaven, according to your will. And, you know, we're stuck in this moment in time that we're in. We can't see the greater picture like God does. The other big thing that I think the church as a whole gets wrong about prayer is that we consider prayer to be us talking to God. And prayer is just like any other good communication should be two-way, in that we should, in times of prayer, be able to hear from God. But we forget to teach on that. We forget to dwell on that in the church. And so people oftentimes are just throwing up prayers, and then they wonder why I'm not getting an answer. Well, you know, if you're always talking, no one else can. So
that's
part of prayer has got to be that wait for God to speak back, and then being willing to accept what he tells you. I mean, what good would it do for my wife to ask me what I want for dinner and me tell her, and then she makes what she wanted anyway? Because she was so busy making dinner, she never heard my answer. How important would I end up feeling?
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, and it's a poor example, but it was the first one that popped in my head. So, and yet that's the way we treat God sometimes. Is we just keep pouring out requests at him, but we never wait to see what he thinks on the requests that we give him. I mean, how many times have, even in the show, as we've been taking prayer requests, have we had writers say, pray that my career goes this way, or pray for my spouse to get this job, or pray, you know, they're very, and I believe in specific prayers, but sometimes we get so specific in our prayer that we miss something greater that God has planned for us, because we're so focused on getting this one request that we think is perfect answered yes.
You know, we are talking to Pastor George McVeigh. He is pastor for PJC Media, and he is talking to us about prayer. This is our prayer broadcast today. We will be taking your prayer requests. So if you want to call in and weigh in and with your prayer requests, call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show. With your prayer request, just type in prayer next to it so I can see it. And you can always call in. And what I want us to do is let us know that prayer is the order of the day. We want to be attentive servants to the Lord. We want to be able to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? Lord, how do you want me to react in this situation? Lord, what can I do to please you in the midst of the situation? And that's what I think we're going to talk about next on the other side of the break. Again, call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. We're going to take a quick short break.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show. This is our prayer broadcast, and we are praying for you. Our verse that we're using to kind of spearhead our show today is Nehemiah 1, I think that's 11:1. I think I said that wrong. But he says here, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And with me to talk about prayer and to pray for us is Pastor George McVeigh. And George, again, thank you for being with us on the show and talking about prayer. I had mentioned earlier I was going to be a little more transparent with things and going on because I want us to be transparent to the Lord. Like I say, we can lie to ourselves. We can, we're probably very good at lying to ourselves and to each other, but we can often lie to ourselves. And I'm going to take that step of transparency and mention my own issues I've been dealing with. And one thing I have been dealing with is marital issues with my husband. I've been dealing with marital issues. And for a moment there, it was kind of bleak. And so what happened, I remember I talked to you, Pastor George, about it, and you said, you need to do this. And you gave me instruction. And so I did it for maybe a day. And then I was like, well, okay, we're done. It didn't work, so we're done. And so so what happened, the only way to describe it would be to, I threw my marriage on the altar of the Lord and said, here, you do something with it. And then a couple of days later, my husband started to act different, and I was immediately aware of it. And I remember the moment I noticed it, the only way to describe it, Pastor George, would be the awareness of prayer, not a physical entity of like this is what prayer looks like, but there is no other way to describe seeing the idea there's prayer wrapping around my husband. That is the literary way I could kind of explain it. I said, there's prayer going on here because they aren't mine. You know, I remember thinking, like, these aren't my prayers, you know. There's someone else's prayer. And knowing that someone was praying for us and someone was praying for my marriage. And since then, that prayer, I've seen prayer continue to work through me and through my husband, you know. And I'm seeing it's been like about a month and a half now that I've been seeing that. And so when we're praying, we're not praying to empty air. And our prayers are not empty. For the lack of a better term, again, Pastor, please correct me if I'm wrong, there's like not a physical substance, there's a spiritual substance to our prayers. I remember how the Bible talks about how our prayers rise up to the Lord like a sweet smelling scent to Him, you know, and things of that nature. And so when I saw that, and I was new, and the Spirit said, "This is prayer going on right now," and I knew that, it was kind of strange to have that spiritual manifestation of something that is immaterial. I'm trying to say it right, George, because it's very difficult to explain what I know. But go ahead and take all that jumbledness and put it into some kind of framework that people listening can understand.
Well, you know, you did say it, and that is, first off, there's a few things here that I think need to be pointed out. The first is that you recognize there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize things in your marriage weren't the way that they should be, the way you wanted them to be, and so you did a couple of things. First off, you went to someone you trusted and asked them to pray for you. That's the way that you came to me. You didn't come to me and say, mm-hmm. give me your pastoral advice, even though you knew that's what I was going to do. You came to mm-hmm. me and said, will you pray for me and my husband in this? Which of course, I did. You know, Scripture tells us where any two or three come together in His name on a subject, it'll be done. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
you and I, even though I know there are other people that you asked to pray for you and asked to pray for your marriage, you know, you and I made two. Those people made more than two. And when we brought that mm-hmm. to God, even when you got fed up and said, "That's it, I'm not doing anything more about this," those prayers mm-hmm. continued on your behalf. And that's the reason, I think, that God tells us to bear one another's burdens, that He tells us to share our needs, our desires with each other, not just to help us grow in community together and in community with Him together, but so that in those rough times when we're unable or unwilling to come to Him, we still have those who are on our behalf.
Mm.
You know, the mm-hmm. other thing that I think is interesting, it was after you decided, "I'm not going to do this and this isn't going to work," that you began to notice what God was doing. When you got out of the way, you could see
yeah.
God at work. You know, sometimes, you know, we kind of touched on this earlier, but it's so easy to be so busy, not even with bad things, but just to be so busy doing the right thing that we miss the God thing that's going on around us. So, and I think that's exactly what I think was going on. I don't think your husband made a change overnight. I think you noticed the change finally.
I remember looking. I just remember when I became aware of it, and I was actually resistant toward it, because now you ask people for prayer, and then especially when it comes to marriage, again, part of me is very leery of being so transparent, but when it comes to marriage, that I, in my current experience with marriage, I should say, I've been married 10 years, and you're kind of like, well, you know what, maybe this is not what it's supposed to be. You kind of think the thoughts, like, you know, maybe I need a new challenge, you know, one of those thoughts. And so it happened. Yeah, I think 10 years is a good road. It's a good road. So, but what happened was that I was resistant to the answers to those prayers for a minute. I was resistant. For like a couple of days of resistance. I'm like, no, don't start to change now. Don't start to get it together now. Don't start to, you know, get
yeah,
right now. No, 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 no.
That's right.
You know, I'm done, you know. And I remember the day I actually realized that there was prayer going on was even after that. There was a situation, me and my husband, in the past, we would just start screaming at each other and hollering and fussing at each other. And we were sitting side by side working on a project that we both need to complete. And the need to scream at him and holler at him because we had to hurry up and get it done was there, that need. And that's what we always fell back to in the past, just screaming at each other and hollering at each other. And what happened, I literally was squeezing myself. I was squeezing myself to not say anything. And then I looked over to my husband, and he was very tight-lipped himself. And our answer was very short and everything. I said, okay. And we got whatever we had to do, we got it done. And I said, "Babe, did you want to argue?" He was like, "Yeah." And I said, "I wanted to argue too." And he was like, "Yeah." I said, "We both wanted to, didn't we?" He was like, "Yeah." I said, "Why didn't we?" He was like, "I don't know," because we've always fallen back on that. And I realized that that was a day we didn't, that what we would have argued about would not have been important, that it would have only lasted for that minute, but we would have said mean things to each other like we have in the past. And to the fact that we didn't argue, we got the project that we need to get done, and then we ended up hugging each other later. And it just really started to make a huge change in our relationship of learning to control our mouths and learning to control anger and learning to control that we don't always have to be to each other and stuff like that. And what happened since then, our argument has gone down. It hasn't. We haven't really argued in a while. You know, to be quite frank, have argued in a while. And so just seeing prayer and people's prayers working over my marriage, you know, and the Lord is working through these prayers. And there's some more that we can do. And I'm using myself as an example. I don't know what our listeners listening to may have. They may have serious, serious problems going on in their lives. They may be in an abusive relationship. They may have unrepentant sins. They may have unforgiveness in their hearts. But what I was using myself as is show that prayer really does work.
Sure.
And I have seen it for myself. And I say it on the show all the time, but it's always different when it's you. It's always a little bit different, you know, when it's you. And so, Pastor, go ahead and speak to that, if you can add anything to that, as we invite our listeners to call in and send in their prayer request.
Well, you know, when you were talking about this, something that an old mentor of mine used to say just popped in my mind, and that is, don't be willing to ask for prayer for someone else that you're in relationship with and not expect God to change you.
Mm.
Mm. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Because that's really what has to happen is, and don't get me wrong, we are not making light of the fact that in some marriages there are serious, dangerous things happening. And in that case,
right.
Yes, certainly pray, but get yourself out of danger.
Correct. Definitely.
That's
definitely.
First and
yeah.
foremost. It does you no good to pray for a better marriage, you know, if you're going to end up in the hospital or dead.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. We need wisdom in our prayers, too.
That's right. But, you know, there are, I mean, and I'm dealing with that a lot right now. I mean, I'm dealing with a lot of people online and even in my mm-hmm. personal life, not, you know, something that I can go into, not my marriage, but in my personal mm-hmm. life and people that I know in real life who are having mm-hmm. just horrible marriage issues going on and are wanting help and are wanting prayer and, that's always should be our first, you know, you said it at the top of the hour when we started this, that sometimes mm-hmm. prayer becomes our last resort, but it should be our first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, I mean, people wait until these problems have grown and then they're like, you know, pray for us or we're going to end up not together anymore. Well,
mm-hmm.
where was the prayer before things got to that point?
Yeah.
Where was asking God to change the dynamic before you got to this point, before you couldn't talk anymore, before you started falling in love with someone else, before any of those things? Where was the prayer? And you know, for the most part, people are just shocked. I should have prayed
mm-hmm.
for my marriage. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Pray for it in the good times so that it's already stronger by the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
So, and,
you know,
and it's
interesting
just,
you say that, too. Yeah,
it's not
it's
just marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How many times
yeah.
has people, you know, even since we started this on the show, how many times have people been like, pray for my job because it's going to end? We've already heard the rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't we praying for your job? Why weren't you praying for your job every single day before you
yeah.
went to it?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we, you know, Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing, and that sounds impossible until we realize prayer is conversation. It's conversation with God. So why aren't we talking to him about our hopes, our dreams, our worries before they become blow up in your face sized? You know, I mean, one of the going back to the marriage example, one of the biggest things that someone ever did for me was shortly after my wife and I got married, which, you know this, yesterday was our 31st wedding anniversary.
And happy anniversary.
Thank you. But one of the first and most important things that was said to me was a man that I regarded with great respect who came up to me and said, he'd been married at that time 50 years already. And he said for me, don't ever let a day go by you don't pray for your marriage. And it stuck with me. And I'll be honest, you know what? I didn't do it all the time. But when I came to this place in my life where prayer became important to me, that came back to me and has been something that my wife and I do regularly, both together and separately. I mean, there are, we don't do it as much anymore because our sleep schedules are different, but it used to be our nightly ritual that before we would go to bed together, we would pray for each other and for our marriage. And it made such a difference in our marriage at a time that it needed it. And all because we invited God to be part of it.
Hey, George? Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, there. No, my thing went out for a second, so I make sure. But I like how you're saying all that, because we do have to pray, and we do have to pray every day, and we should pray before it becomes a problem. One of the things I wanted to talk about as we continue our prayer broadcast, and you are invited to call in with your prayer requests, by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to live on air with your prayer request. So you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your prayer request there, because I'll be more than happy to read our prayer request, because we're going to pray toward the end of our show today. We want to make sure that we get whatever your prayer that you need, we want to make sure we get that. But one thing, too, in being transparent, I remember, too, that it's not just marriages. You know, there are a lot of people going through a lot of things. And I try to be broad with the show description today, because now a lot of people are affected by circumstances out of their control, like the natural disasters, the slew of natural disasters that we saw. And my missionary couple that I support, their village got flooded. And there were people left without homes. And he said it did affect their ministry, because people were starting to come, were being led to the Lord and led to Christ. And then this happens, you know. And then people who have different beliefs, they're thinking, oh, this is the God's punishing me for trying to leave and stuff like that. And then even more so than that is when apathy has grown up in our youth, for our youth, young people, despondency in our elderly people, and then complacency with us, those of us who are under a certain age. And then in our personal lives, we have, like I said, failed relationships, painful past, uncertain futures, and what I like to call lint in my pocket. You know, I'll have a pocket full of lint, you know. And then the today seems rocky. And then those of us who have chronic illnesses and pain, those of us who can't sleep, and those who have mental disorders, all this is going on, George. All of this is going on, you know. And then I thought about a hymn that we used to sing. I don't know if we even sing it anymore, but the hymn that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins, which means we have to repent, and grief, everything that we're going through, to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer, you know. And I thought about that, how when we pray, we're talking to the God, yes, but what we're doing is releasing ourselves of responsibility.
That's right.
And we're releasing ourselves of, I'm going to take care of this myself. And so that's why I wanted to do this and let people know. So go ahead and talk to those who may say, well, I'm fine. It's just that my house is gone. It got messed up in Hurricane Irma. I don't have a place to stay anymore. Where is God there? So can I speak to those for us today, George?
Well, you know, I want to answer that specific question, which isn't really a prayer question, though It is a prayer that is often screened in the aftermath of everything that we've been seeing going on. You know, I mean, the social unrest, the natural disasters, as you said, and not just the hurricane, but, I mean, we've had hurricanes, two of them. We've had, sorry about that, we've had two hurricanes. We've had earthquake in Mexico that took out so many and caused so much problems. There's the wildfires out west that have just destroyed hundreds of acres as well, and thousands of acres, as well as homes and businesses. And you know, and even on a smaller scale, there are personal disasters that come to people. You know, a house fire, a car wreck, you know, all of these things. And we wonder and we scream and we ask God, why? And and the truth is, he gave us the answer a long time ago. And Jesus himself said it. In this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
You know, I mean, we live in a broken world, broken by sin that affects everything in creation, including, as much as we don't like to admit it or think about it, what we call the natural disasters. I mean, the world is not the way it was supposed to be.
Right.
And it's broken because of sin. And Christ himself said, hey, you know, bad things are going to come. The rain falls on the just and the unjust equally. You know, I mean, and you're right. It has just been, it's been an overwhelming year, hasn't it? I mean, with everything. We see an uptick in social unrest, not just on a national level, but on a worldwide level. I mean, you know, there are wars and rumors of wars, and they're growing by the day. You know?
Yep.
And there's hatred, and there's violence, and there's things that make you want to say and go, why, God? Why? Why me? Why this? Why us? Why this? But, you know, the other thing is, we get so focused on those that we overlook the other stories, don't we? Because here in the midst of this hurricane, in the midst of all this social unrest in our country, were people of every race, of every social status, coming together to help those people in Texas that were flooded out.
Yep.
There were all these people who poured out so much desire to see something happen in Puerto Rico that the president changed his mind. A president not known for changing his mind. Changed his mind.
Yep.
You know,
was prayer right there, some of y'all. Right.
You know. And the truth of the matter is, God's answer to why is because it's just going to happen. But the other question that I hear get asked in prayer during the midst of all these things are, where were you, God? And the answer is, I'm right here where I've always been. I mean, can you imagine what any of these disasters would have been like without a loving, present God involved? We wouldn't be talking about deaths in the hundreds. We'd be talking about annihilation. And, you know, that sounds trite to say, but it's not. It's that, you know, one of the things that I did, being transparent this year, was I wrote about my two worst times as a pastor, the two worst things as a pastor I ever went through. The first was, you know, the second worst thing I ever went through was, of course, 9/11. And those of us that were alive and in ministry on that day, it was a horrendous day because all these questions came to the forefront in every American's mind and heart and mouth, including your pastors. I'll just be real honest. Most of us had the same questions that everybody else did, and yet we were expected to be there giving answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the worst one for me was the day when in my first youth ministry, when a young man in our ministry took his own life, and I had to face up to the fact that I hadn't done my job right. Not because he killed himself, but because of things that I realized because of that. And in those moments, you want to say, God, why? And then we don't wait to hear why. Because we're so angry, we're so full of what's going on, we're so worried that we don't stop. You know, I mean, I just yesterday talked to a lady who said, you know, she's a very regular fan of my written fiction. And she texted me because she was afraid I would know she didn't buy my book this time that just came out. Because she's from the Houston area and she lost everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And not from the actual flooding, but because her work was flooded and she hasn't worked since that hurricane.
Wow.
And she's like, you know, I can't buy your book this time. I'm not even sure I'm going to have a house tomorrow because I can't pay my rent. And
wow.
And there's no help for us that's not related to flood damage. And, you know, and of course, in the midst of all of that, because she's a regular reader and a fan, she knows that I'm a pastor, and her thing was, why? Why would God let this happen to me? And all I can do is pray for her because I don't have an answer. I mean, I don't have an answer for why bad things happen to good people. No one does.
No. And
no,
that's the thing. That's the thing, George, what you said right there, is that we don't have the answer. But thanks be to God that he does. I was reading a blog post recently, George, and they was talking about, you know, imagine if all this has happened, there was no one we can turn to, no one outside of ourselves we can turn to. You know, imagine then it'll be all meaningless what we go through. All this would be nothing. You might as well just take a laser and just, you know, end it. You know what I mean? Not a laser, but a gun and end it for some people. That's what some people do. We want to pray for them too, who's on that precipice as they go through these things, you know, George. And the thing is that, well, prayer is not about, well, this is all I can do. No, this is the best thing you can do. This is the very best thing you can do. Take it from someone who was resistant to the prayer being answered, and not necessarily the prayer being answered the way I wanted it to be answered. But like you said earlier, George, just using myself, you know, Lord, it's changing me. It's not just going to change the person that you want to have changed. It's changing me. There's one thing I do want to touch on, too, right before we go into our prayer. And this is something I think is very important about prayer, because you can't share everything with everybody. You just can't. And this is another important part of prayer, too. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6 again. We're in Matthew today. And he says, that thy alms be made may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prayer. And being transparent with our prayers, like me and George are trying to do today, and being transparent, we also want to be cognizant of the fact that at the end of the day, the only person who really needs to hear your prayer is the Lord. The only one who needs to hear it is him. You know, we don't have to be out there on the street, Lord, hear the prayer of your servant. I'm standing up. You don't need to hold that. You know, you can go, like, I actually like the illustration in the movie War Room. I like the illustration how she was the closet. I like that, the closet thing. Maybe you don't have a closet. Maybe you have a small house and you don't have a closet. But wherever that private moment is, you go there. You don't have to be all
you know, public about it. And then be cautious of who you share your prayers with. Now, I know why I think that, but you, George, you're our pastor. Tell us why we need to be cautious of who we share our prayers with.
Well, let's just be human for a minute, okay? There are people who cannot close their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in a prayer situation, having your business be everyone else's business is detrimental to what you're asking for.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're struggling in your marriage, you don't need somebody talking about how bad your marriage is to everyone but God.
Yeah, there is that.
You know what I'm saying? And let's be honest. I mean, we're being transparent here, so let's be honest. There are people in the church who use prayer requests as nothing more than airing other people's dirty laundry.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. We could do a show on that just by ourselves, couldn't we, George? I have been there in church saying where Sister So-and-so told me, and you look like, oh, my goodness, did she just tell that person?
Sister So-and-so, I saw her husband. We need to pray for Sister So-and-so. I saw her husband at the Piggly Wiggly with Miss Thang, and they were closer than they should have been, and so we need to pray for her marriage. Well, you know what?
Lord help us.
God bless your little heart in the very Southern tradition. But that's why we need to be cautious. That's why I think that every Christian should cultivate two or three close friends, Christian friends, that they can count on to be discreet and yet thunder in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if we truly believe God's word, which says our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the dark places, if that's where our battle is, then we need people who are willing to go to battle there.
Yeah.
Not here in the physical. So
you know,
I think
you
that's
said
why,
that, George. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's why we need to pray. And I think that's why God says don't pray in public. Now, I do want to point this out. What Jesus was talking about there were not prayers of request, but prayers of thanksgiving, more so. Because what he's literally saying here is, hey, if you draw attention to the greatness of yourself in prayer in public, you've got all the rewards you're going to get when people come up and pat you on the back and tell you how great you are. And, you know, not there, but in another place, he gives the example of the church man who stood up and said, oh, God, thank you that I'm not like this poor sinner beside you. You know?
Oh, thank you. I'm not like him. You know, that was so mean. When I think of that, that's just so mean. Oh,
but,
Lord, help us.
But what he's saying is, hey, that man has got all the reward he's going to get because people look at him and say, man, what a great man of God that is. And then there's those little old ladies who come to you in private and say, honey, I'm praying for you. And you just know when they tell you that, that they're spending hours on their knees in private begging God on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is more useful to you?
Amen. The one that's getting to the throne. You want those prayers to get
to
the throne.
The one that starts her prayers in private going, God, I know I'm nobody, but.
I appreciate that. I can appreciate that.
So
that's what I meant. You know, that's what I meant when we were talking about just how when I saw those prayers and seeing the prayer of others being wrapped around me and my husband. And that was just a very interesting experience. And knowing the Spirit whispered to me, he said, those are prayers. And the experience is so surreal to me because I know what was happening and I know
right.
what the Lord showed me at that moment. I couldn't see prayers. I'm going to make that clear. I couldn't see them, but they were there like a tangible thing. And I was like, okay. And that's what, and and it's a wonderful feeling knowing that there are others praying for us. You know, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start our prayer. We're going to be praying for, we're going to start our prayer that Pastor George is going to go. I don't know, you know, Pastor George, you go as long as you like, of course. And then, but we want to be specific in some of the things. I know I'm going to be specific for something else, too. One thing that I want you to do as you listen to Pastor George's prayer, that insert your name there. Insert where your needs are. Insert where your weakness is. Are you asking God for strength? I want you to insert yourself there as Pastor George prays. So we're going to take another quick, very short break. When we come back, we're going to talk and we'll be praying for you. You still have a chance to call in before we start praying. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air with your prayer request. We're going to take a quick short break. We'll be right back.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to our show. This is the Parker J. Cole Show, our prayer broadcast. And this whole entire time, we have been talking about prayer, what it is, what it is not, how to pray, why we should pray, what does prayer do? How's it changed me? I've shared my personal experience. George has shared his personal experience. And we want to know that we are praying for you. We understand that there are things happening in your life that may be beyond your control. They may understand you may be troubling from a painful past. You may not know what the future is going to bring. There's a lot going on today, y'all. A lot going on. And prayer is definitely in order. We don't need prayer later. We need prayer right now. And so I wanted to do this show to talk about prayer and the importance of prayer. And Pastor George, who's our pastor, he's going to be praying for us. And you know, one thing, George, I want to put out there is that I tend to have a problem with praying for myself. I tend to have a problem with doing that because I try to think of others. But recent things have happened to me to cause me to question this need to not pray for myself. I do need to pray for myself. And so one thing I want to pray for me is that I learn to put more boundaries for myself. I tend to be very helpful for people because that's what I want to do. I want to help people. But oftentimes not. I've been under a lot of stress because it's very difficult for me to say no. But if I say no, I feel guilty about that. But recently things have come, you know, in my life that have shown me that by setting boundaries for myself, you're actually making yourself stronger. When you have those boundaries, you make yourself weaker. And you put yourself in stress, and you start to feel that way. So I am asking, Lord, that I don't want to be just – I want to be like him, of course. But when we want to be gentle as lambs, we still need to be bold as a lion. And sometimes being bold is knowing when to say, I can't do that for you. You have to do this. Don't do that. You know, I want to be more bold for the Lord and be able to set boundaries for myself and not feel bad about that. I've been such a open person about that. Then I want to be more able to set those boundaries for myself. So that's what I'm praying for myself. Was there anything you wanted to add to that, George, you know, when it comes to that kind of thing?
Well, you know, that is a common problem. And it's a common issue that Christians come to because you're supposed to have a servant's heart. But even a servant has to rest.
Yeah.
And sometimes, for one reason or another, no needs to be said, you know, whether it's because you just physically can't do it or because it doesn't fit. You know, I had another older mentor who once said, you need to look at everything you're asked to do and see, does this fit the calling on my life?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then it's not something you need to be involved in. Because I had that same problem early on where, you know, the pastor should be involved in this and 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 this. I realized I was working 36 hours in a 24-hour day.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets to you. And he said, you need to take every single request and ask yourself and ask God, does this fit the calling you placed on my life? Is this what I need to be doing right now? And if it's not, then it's okay to say, you know what, that sounds like a great idea, but it's not something I can be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if I said yes to this, and then I missed doing something that God really had set for me to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that, George. And then that was my prayer request for those of you who are just listening in. You may not have one, but you're listening to us. George is going to pray for us right now. So I'm going to actually mute myself, and I'm going to let George take the wheel. I can't help it. Sorry. I'm going to let George take over our microphone here, and I'm going to let him pray for us. And George, be as long or short as you want to, as long as you pray.
Well, Father God, we just come to you right now. Lord, we want to first off say how great and marvelous is your name, how we love that we are called your sons and your daughters, how we love the fact that we have permission to come to you, the creator of the universe, and just tell you our needs, our wants, our dreams, our desires, our frustrations. What a privilege, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your son who makes that privilege possible. God, we just come to you today as your people, hurting. Lord, our world seems so crazy now. And we know that your word tells us that the closer to your coming that we get, that the crazier it's going to get. But God, that doesn't help us when we're right here in the midst of what's going on. Lord, we have just anger and frustrations running wild in our country, in our world, that seems to be trying to rip us apart from each other and you. And God, we just pray that your love, your peace will permeate your people's hearts and yet your boldness, so that we stand up and say, this isn't right. Lord, we pray for our leaders, whether we voted for them or want them to be our leaders or not. They are the ones that you've given us. And we pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, someone will help them find your path for them. Lord, we come to you for those that have just been through the physical ringer of these disasters, the floods, the hurricanes, fires, the just everything, God, the earthquakes. Lord, there are people without homes. There are people without jobs. There are people without everything that they have accumulated in life. More than any of us can help with. But God, we know you are there, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And so we ask that you speak into their lives, if nothing more than just to breathe peace into them, to let them know that you're right there beside them as they go through this. Lord, but we also pray for their physical needs, for those that need shelter, for those that need work, for those that need healing because of the things that have happened here, whether it's emotional healing, mental healing, physical healing. God, we just pray your hand upon all of those. And not just in the disasters, God. We know and have heard of so many people that are going through so much sickness or mental stress or emotional disturbance right now, God. And we ask your peace permeate the lives of your children. God, we ask for those who ask, why me? Why this? Why now? Where's God? We ask that you make yourself known to them. And let them know that you are still in charge. God, we pray for those like Parker and like so many others who are struggling in marriage, whether it's something small or whether it's the, I don't know that I can stay in this another day. Lord, that you begin to speak life into them, that you begin to show them your plan for them. Lord, those that are in situations that they need to get out of, that you show them plainly, now's the time to get out. For those that just need to turn their marriage over to you like Parker did, God, that you make that plain and then begin to show them you're at work. God, for those that need work, nothing can be scarier than not knowing how to provide for your family. But Lord, you know that. And so we speak and ask that you bring to them the perfect opportunity that provides for their family and yet draws them closer to you. God, we pray for those that are sick, for those that have got just the worst news that anyone can have. Lord, that you bring healing where healing is needed, that you bring acceptance where acceptance is needed, that you bring peace in all of their lives, in the lives of their families. Lord, we pray for Parker and others like her who just need to learn to let you lead them, even when that means saying no. Lord, give them boldness and wisdom. Wisdom to know what to say yes to, what to say no to, and boldness to be able to say no, knowing that it pleases you whether it pleases people or not. That they are good stewards of their time, of their talents, and of their callings. Lord, we pray for every single minister of your word that may be listening today, pastors, evangelists, teachers, missionaries, prayer warriors. Lord, that you strengthen each of their callings, give them the opportunities that you have laid out for them, and that they can see you at work through their lives. Lord, we pray encouragement over every listener, because it's the devil's number one tool to discourage us, to make us feel alone and separated. So, God, we pray for encouraging words to everyone today. That someone would just come up to them out of the blue and thank them for something or tell them how much they mean to them or lift them up in prayer. Unexpected. Just to show you're still at work in everyone's life and that you love us and care for us. God, we ask all these things in the power, the authority of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Pastor George. Thank you so much. I appreciate your prayer that you shared with us today. I hope those listening in, I hope you were encouraged by our talk and our discussion. I hope that with our transparency, let you know that you are not alone. And I hope that with George's prayer that he lifts up to the Father, that you are blessed by it. Perhaps there was something he didn't add to that and you want to let us know, hey, could you just put me on a prayer list? We will. Just contact me, hit me on Facebook, Twitter, on my website. You get to contact George. Same thing. We'll be more than happy to pray for you and keep you on the prayer list. We want every month for our writers particularly. But, hey, maybe you're not a writer. Maybe you're just someone who just wants prayer. Please know that we will pray for you. We want to keep you in our prayers. Not just one time. But we want to keep you there. You know, like Pastor said, make your request known to him. Pastor, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you so much for all that you do for me as an individual and as for me as a CEO of this network and for what we do for this show and for all our shows. Thank you so much, Pastor.
No, you're welcome. I enjoy it.
We're going to leave today with just one thought that whatever you have going on in your life, that don't let prayer be the last thing you do. Let that be the first thing that you do. Make your requests known unto the Lord. And from me, Parker J., you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.